Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. A bit less carnage this week than last week, but still plenty of to talk about.
We'll start off with the group winner, which was Joshua and his team, Rough Pies. He got a big 2,513, Paddo. Who did he have?
Yeah, massive score. So great job, Joshua. Interestingly, only had two scores over 100 in his defense with Luke Ryan and Nasaya Wangalim-Lera, who is looking okay. But his midfield, fucking hell. So I'll rattle off all these names because it was massive. So Caleb Sarong, Nick Dacos in his midfield, Bontempelli, he had the VC on Zach Butters, which was obviously a nice way to start the weekend. Jordan Dawson, Sam Walsh, Tom Green, and Darcy Wilson for 90. Hit closely on his midfield bench for 105 as well, if you don't mind. Gaundy in the rucks and, one of those idiots that not one of those idiots that went sweet R2 because he's sitting at R3 for him. And the sort of usual suspects up forward, Heaney, Flanders, Darcy, turned up for him up forward. It's got a Harley Reid-sized problem up there. Dano is probably ready to be traded out, but we'll talk about that later.
Yep. So we'll move on to injuries and suspensions, Paddo. It's a bit hard because we're doing it on Monday night. No official reports coming out yet, so we're just fucking winging it. So the first one is Adam Chera with his hammy. We don't know how long for. He got subbed out, didn't he?
He did, yes. But haven't really heard to what extent that is. It may have come out. It was a Thursday game, but I didn't watch much footy at all over the weekend. It was Mother's Day. Hopefully you all treated your mothers great over the weekend. And didn't see much footy at all. I watched three quarters of the Richmond game in tears, and that's about it.
Well, I was the opposite because last week, listeners, as you remember, I was sick. Turns out I had the Rona, couldn't spend Mother's Day with my mum. So all I got told was to just rest on the couch, and all I did was watch footy. So there you fucking go. So I'm the opposite to Paddo right now, so I can actually discuss the games a bit more. So Sam Walsh obviously would benefit from Adam Chera being hamstrung, Paddo.
Yeah, 100%. There has been a direct correlation with Chera playing this year and Walsh's scoring going down. Chera has, I think, played the last two games, don't know, and Walsh went about, sub 100 in round 8 at least. Walsh did go big on the weekend, but Chera was subbed out. So, yeah, interesting little thing to note there. They also subbed Hewitt as well, which was interesting. It sort of took him out of the midfield rotation. So,
yeah, but Hewitt came on.
Interesting thing to sort of keep track of.
Yeah, Hewitt came on. Yeah. Hewitt comes straight in for Chera. Easy peasy. Jeremy Cameron, concussion 1 to 2 weeks. This was fucked up, Paddo. So I was saying in group chats, the first one was there was a head clash between Cameron and someone else, and they assessed the other guy but not Cameron. And I said, okay, that's a bit sus. Wouldn't you assess both of them? Then later on, he ended up getting another head knock, but this time it was like a ricocheted head off the ground. And they walked over to them. Apparently, they did an assessment, but I thought the assessment's like generally you take them off for 10 minutes, and then if they're fine, they come back.
I mean, I thought that was mandated where they have to do a full HIA, like in the rooms to be cleared to play.
So there was two instances where Jeremy Cameron had a head knock, didn't get properly assessed, and now it's come out that he's going to miss. Is it 14 days now or is
it not
like
sure, but
or?
It's interesting that he was one of two players in the game that had 100% game time, which if you have two big head knocks like that, it's pretty suspicious. Similar thing happened Saturday night, Dano. Jamar Ugle-Hagan had a big head knock and looked off his face, looked like he'd been spent all night on the piss and came back 5 minutes later, he was back on the ground. I thought, fuck, like he's had a miracle recovery. So The Doggies doing another dodgy there. These clubs need to be fucking held accountable for this shit. Liber's looking at a potential early retirement because of his head knocks and being mistreated, and these clubs need to be sued.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I think it's absolutely shithouse. And, like, Port Adelaide were held accountable, but anyway.
We go from two clubs that are fucking over their players to Sydney who treat their concussions really, really well and prioritise the player, which all clubs should be doing.
Mm, yeah, agreed. Speaking of Sydney, Nick Blakey, concussion 1 to 2 weeks. So there you go. And then we'll go to the last one, which is Jeremy McGovern. Now, I actually found this one intriguing. He was on like 90-something when he disappeared for like 20-something minutes, and he actually increased to like 110 over that time. He got scaled up. I'd never seen that happen before, Pato. Anyway, what's wrong with him?
No idea. I didn't see this game, but he just had a side injury according to Fan Footy. So,
fair enough.
And we'll see when the report comes out.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to rookie trade-ins. There's fuck all at the moment. Now, I think with the people that have Harley Reid and they're looking to trade him out, do you reckon trade out Harley Reid, Pato? Because I am.
His break-even is at like 120, and I think he's not looking at like a keeper now. So, I think it's like your mum.
I'm thinking of just doing the one trade this week. I'm trying to figure out a way to get in Zorko, but honestly, we'll talk about him later. But I can't figure out a way how to without sacrificing more players for cash gen, because I did a silly last week. Well, it might not be a silly. I don't know. One of them did crack 100 after I traded him out.
Told you it was a bad idea to trade him out.
But if I didn't do that, I would have traded out Jason Horne-Francis and he got me my first ton. So,
true.
So I would have been so salty.
there's a few players that have actually kind of reset their break even, which hurts people that went early on them, but that's why you hold on to your rookies.
Well, and it we don't know whether it'll affect them like you in the long run, or whether you jumping off and then jumping on someone else will pay off in the long run. We don't know. Anyway, rookie trade-ins. This first one we got is Lachie Sullivan, 102k mid, minus 92 break even, 75 average. I'm actually not sure on his job security, Pato, because they got a lot of ins to come in at Collingwood. And he's played good. He's literally had the 275s. But I don't know whether he stays in there once your DeGoeys and your Tom Mitchells and that come back.
They also lost three guys in this game.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, we didn't discuss those injuries, did we?
So Jack Vitale was the sub and he came on and failed an HIA test. Yep. Jeremy Howe went down at quarter time with a groin injury. Yep. This should have all been in the rookie report, in the injury report, but don't mind us. And Harvey Harrison went down as well, who's been sort of playing half forward. So there are a few guys that have gone out. We'll see. Finn McRae had a good game.
Yeah, and I know a fair few people that traded Finn McRae out to bring Harrison in.
That hurts.
Because they just wanted a warm body. Shit happens. So Lachie Sullivan looks like the most traded in out of all of them. We'll go to our man Revel, who you've listed as Breville, because
he's Breville. We're gonna make that work. We're gonna take off.
Okay, because he's cooking.
He's cooking.
Not
that way, Clayton Oliver.
Oh, fucking Heisenberg. 102k mid / forward. Minus 56 break even, with a 57 average. Now, he's bargain Mason Price. This is the one that I actually think his job security is safe, Pato. And that sounds weird because he's not setting the world on fire. But Brisbane don't really have much going on for them at the moment.
No, and they've got Kyle Lohman, who also had a head knock. So they are ravaged with injuries. Breville's job security does look good. What doesn't look good is the fact that his fitness is not AFL standard, Dano. He had 53% game on time and he was not the sub.
Yeah.
And I caught the second half, or I caught a couple of quarters of this game, and there was one stage where he had a couple of good, like, sort of second efforts and then immediately asked for a sub during play.
Yeah, right.
Which just says his tank is not 53% in a game time when you're not green or red vested. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And that, like, are they doing it just to, like, get him and his tank up, or, like...
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, 55 in 53% game time is really good.
Yeah. So obviously they like him and they rate him.
And the DPP is handy as well.
Yeah. We're talking about a guy that's going to be sitting on your bench.
Exactly. And you'll need him for a couple of weeks over the buys.
Yeah.
But other than that, you maximize that downgrade. So Sullivan's the same price. So that's where you've got to make that decision. It sucks that these guys have come on the bubble at the same time.
Well, is it a double downgrade week?
Not with Zorko playing Richmond this week, but we'll go through that.
Yep. We've got the one gamer as well that we've listed down, Joe Richards. Fucking the Wangaratta boy. He got a big 107. His first half, Paddo, was something to behold. I'll just get up his stats for the first half because it was magic. Where are you? You cheeky bugger. I put it down somewhere. It was... Shit, where'd I put him? Live podcasting. I don't know where I put them. It was pretty fucking good, though. Hang on. I sent them to someone because he was like, why is everyone talking about Joe Richards? And I'm like, because there's fucking reason, and here's why. Oh, shit. His first half was insane. That's all I remember. It was like, oh, here we go. It was 14 disposals, 4 tackles, 3 goal assists, and 1 goal in his first half.
And he ended with 18 disposals.
Yeah, I think he got more tackles in the second half. But that first half was lit.
I just and so waiting would have affected him a lot because the game would have been closer at that stage. I just think people don't go early on this. He played West Coast.
Yeah, that's true. And it's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see how he goes this week and go from there.
Yeah. I will say that Joe Richards is the 123K forward.
I don't know why I didn't put that in there. Sorry, Dana.
I know, but I knew. but anyway, before we go into primo trade-ins and whatnot, Paddo, we want to talk about buyer structure and shit like that because we're close now. We are very close, and it's going to start affecting your team trade-ins. I know that I'm looking at my team trade-ins at the moment, and I'm contemplating like my first sideways trade ever, Paddo, this season, ever.
It's not ever then.
This season, which is a Harry Sheasel out.
That's a big call.
Because I'm not liking the midfield role at the moment. But it's to try and help with my buy structure and also help me get Dane Zorko. I still don't think I can afford Zorko, even if I do it. But anyway, so think about your buy structures and whatnot. I'd prioritise warm bodies at this stage, like rookie downgrade options to maximize your cash, but also that are actually going to play. So even if it is a Revel on your bench, fuck. If he makes it your 19th or 20th man and he pops off, sweet, he's in your 18. If he doesn't, he's not in there. So who cares?
Yeah, what I'll also add to that, Dano, prioritize round 12. Round 13 is okay because there's only a couple of teams on that bye, but just try and get your 18 or 19, like, decent enough options for round 12, because come round 14, which is 2 weeks after, so round 13, everyone should be fine unless you've got 8 Port Adelaide players, but I don't know why you would.
Some have like a lot of Port and a lot of Freo.
Yeah, so but by then, so round 13, you can target guys that have had the round 12 bye, and that's Sydney, that's North Melbourne, that's Brisbane. I can't recall off the top of my head who else, but there's some really super coach relevant teams in that bye. So you can target a Lachie Neal after that bye, or a Dunkley, or a Zorko if you dare go against him in the next couple of weeks, and target them post their bye. And that gives you an extra body for round 14, round 15. So don't stress if you've only got 15 guys for round 14, because I know that is a tricky bye round for a lot. And round 15 is pretty fucked as well. Don't stress because you can target the guys that have already had their bye before that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll move on to these primo trading options. So we'll start in defense as always. And this is the one that's it's kind of like a make or break week. Unless he goes down with injury, it's Luke Ryan at 666,000. Ooh, devil's number. 131 average, 26% owned. So now it's owned by over a quarter of the competition now, Paddo. And I thought it'd be a lot higher. I don't own him. I just Anyway, and he's got a 71 break even, and he's got St Kilda this week, and it's just ugly watching defenders and whatnot against St Kilda because they just slut it up. And what's worse about Luke Ryan, if you're a non-owner, is watching him absolutely be a spud for three quarters and then be an absolute slut in that last quarter last week to get 111.
Yeah, that would have been a nervous watch if I was watching that game. I just saw at the end and he got 111. I was pretty happy with that against Sydney because I was expecting an 80 to 90 odd score. I feel like this is now or never for Luke Ryan, don't I? And it's crazy because he is so expensive, but he's got a break even of 71. He'll double that this week.
Yeah.
And he's projected is 144. With that, he goes up 34K to pretty much 700K.
Yeah. And then I think if you look at his pricing, he teeters between 700 and 720K for most of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so if you want Luke Ryan, this is the week. You got to – and I said this last week, I would even be okay with people Sheasel to Ryan.
I mean, I can do it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say to not do that trade if that was your only avenue to Luke Ryan.
Oh, I hate this game.
I just want to say, what were the 12 people doing that traded out Luke Ryan last week?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, do they have 26 trades and they could afford to go out then back in again this week? But he still went up in price. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know. We'll move on.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Nick Martin, 589K, 108 average, 26% owned, 130 break even. Good to a lot of matchups coming up. Paddo?
Yep. North Melbourne, then Richmond. It's about as easy as you can get for a halfback. Also has Gold Coast, and they're pretty fucking up there for conceding points to halfbacks as well. So this almost feels like a now or never as well. However, with that high break even, you probably could afford to wait one more week, like I think I'm going to try and do. But he will get over 600K next week once he goes 130 plus against North Melbourne and then scores 150 against Richmond the week after.
Yeah. Now, Tom Stewart's an interesting one, Paddo. He's 501K, 97 average, 22% owned, and he's got a 97 break even. Again, didn't set the world on fire. I do feel like he's like Guthrie and fucking Holmes are taking points off him, 110%. But I do feel like Stewart's about to explode at some point, and he's just having like a midlife crisis. I don't know. Like, he's going to do it and he's going to go on a run and you want to be there for it. I just don't know when it's going to be.
I actually disagree with you, Dano. I don't think Tom Stewart is the Tom Stewart of the last couple of years. His highest score in the first 9 weeks has been 134. Now, 134 obviously isn't bad, but he's not having those ceiling games than he has. Like, he generally scores similar to what Luke Ryan is this year. And we're not seeing that because Holmes and Guthrie are affecting him. Now, if I look at a long-term thing, I'm happy skipping out on Tom Stewart because, A, he's got the round 14 bye, which is shit for a lot of people.
Yep.
B, like, his next three matchups are really good and he averages really high against those guys. But then they've got Sydney, Carlton, Essendon, Hawthorn. They're all teams that could try and shut him down. And then I look at the back end of the year, I would be targeting Stewart maybe for the last 5 weeks of the season where he goes North Melbourne, Adelaide, Fremantle, St Kilda and West Coast to finish out the year. I think this is a luxury trade well into the season. Or if someone goes down with injury, you pivot to a Tom Stewart.
Yep, fair enough. Last one in defence we got is Jaden Short again, 382K, 78 average, 2% owned, 18 break even. So he's had the 115 and then he followed up with an 84. We said that you can afford to leave it a week because I think his break-even was 89, so he didn't even hit that. So he stayed the same, but his break-even's still 18. So now he's definitely going to fucking hit it.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But with his hammies, you never know.
But this is the thing. So the first half, I thought, holy fuck, Jaden Short's going to turn up again. And then he died.
Yeah, so did half of Richmond.
Yeah, what happened?
I was watching that game, don't know. And I was watching it with some family, with the in-laws. I was at their place and just watching it. And I said it felt like Western Bulldogs had 25 players on the field and we had 15. That's how bad we were.
You're right. Okay.
But anyway, I know it's cheap. I would not be touching this just with Jaden Short's hamstrings.
Yeah, I prioritize getting a best 22 happening. Is it 22? Yeah, the best 22 happening, and then getting these guys in. I feel like the forward line's the ones that we're all going to target, and we'll talk about them later, but there's two clear standouts to bring in for me up there, and you're going to move heaven and earth to get them at the moment. Go to midfield anyway, Paddo. So the first one, and this one will be good for so many buyer structures, and that's Zach Butters, 621K, 124 average, 26% owned, 82 break even. Got that sexy buy where it's just Port Adelaide and Fremantle in that round. Top three mid. Dude's taking the piss. And still 621K. Like, he's like Sarong for me, where you could pick up Sarong the other week at 620K, and he's clearly like a top 3 to 5 mid. Butters is at the same price, 621K, clearly a top 3 to 5 mid. Just fucking... If you haven't completed your midfield and you don't have Butters, Butters is the one.
Yeah, so when lockout opened up Sunday night, everyone sort of looks at trades, and Zach Butters was the guy I brought in. After doing a little bit more research and looking, is now second option to me, but that's only because I think Zorko is priority number one. We'll go through that. But I think you already have Zorko and you don't have Butters, I think Butters is number one. Don't worry about the price. As you said, it really helps with everyone's buy structure. And yeah, he's currently the second highest pure mid in Supercoach. And I can't see that changing too much at all. He does have Hawthorn this week. And he only scored 105 against them last year. So that is maybe cause for concern, Dano, but he has North Melbourne next week, so.
Yep.
I think you just do it if you can.
Yeah. Zachy Merritt, 630K, 121 average, 17% owned, 137 break even, juicy next to opponents, Paddo. So again, we're
Sort of deal. The buy isn't nearly as good as a round 14 buy, so that is a red flag for a lot of people, but. 630K, he's got North Melbourne this week, which is pretty fucking gross, and Richmond as well in his next two. So he could average 150 in those two games, and then plays Gold Coast, who Dimmer's allergic to tags. then he plays Carlton, who will probably get a bit of attention in that game, and then his bye, and then West Coast. So he could even be out of reach post-bye if people wait. But yeah, if people weren't stupid enough to bring Parrish in last week, Merritt's a good option.
Okay. Here's one, Paddo, that we were talking about him because I told you to put in another guy on the run sheet at the same sort of price. So I'm going to talk, even though they're not like next to each other, I'm going to talk about them side by side. So the first one, we'll say one is you're bringing in for ceiling, the other one you'll bring in for consistency. So for the ceiling, we're talking about Christian Petrarca at 555K. You got the 110 average. 18% owned, 88 break even. We're looking at potentially DPP. They got West Coast this week, so he could definitely play up full forward again and get fucking 60, 70% time up forward, and he looks like a fucking beast there. Could get that 35% for us by round 12, at the end of round 12. And then you've got, for consistency, you've got Jack Steele at 557K, 115 average, 24% owned, 83 break even. He's only had two sub 100 scores, Paddo, and they came back to back weeks, and he's got rid of the shoulder strapping, and all that. So yeah. What are your thoughts?
It's funny because this feels knee jerky for the pure sense that, before his 134 against Carlton, he only had four scores over 100 this year. And people weren't really considering him. Obviously, they were in their mind because he had a high break even, and he's sort of reached the probably the lower end of his price right now. But on the flip side, he only had, I think it was like six CBAs or something like that on the weekend, which has got to be concerning for people. As I'm just looking it up, he had eight CBAs. Which was a pretty permanent forward move. Like, is that going to stay? Because if that stays, I don't think that's a great option. And if he does not qualify for DPP at the next lot of DPPs in round 12, then we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, he's still averaging 110. And I get what you mean, though. I personally like Jack Steele better. I think he's just ultra consistent. Two sub 100 scores, and they came in back to back weeks. No shoulder strapping. Got the 122. I think people knee jerked and traded him out way too soon. Always give players 3 weeks is my motto this season, Paddo. And it's paid off for me when Rory Laird had the back to back shit ones and then got the 140 odd. And you just, if you don't give him those 3 weeks, you don't get a good enough sample size. So, yeah, Jack Steele's the one for me. I think you can get a top eight mid for 557K. Yeah, I think you're right on the Christian Petrarca call. It's a bit of a gamble. As someone that brought in Jason Horne-Francis thinking that he'd get DPP and then he finished on 30%, not 35, kind of sucked. And then he's just been lingering in my midfield ever since and he only just got one 100-plus score. So I see the merits in not picking Petrarca. But if you got the balls...
I think you can afford to wait, even if he does go big against West Coast, which is very possible.
Oh, he will.
I think you can afford to wait until at least after round 12, and you wouldn't bring him in after that for one game and then the bye anyway. So I think you wait until post-bye with Petrarca. If he's a forward, obviously, like, that's a no-brainer times 10. Like, he would currently be the third highest averaging forward and would be so far ahead of F4, then you wouldn't even think twice. But I think as a midfielder, he's probably a little bit too far out of the top six to consider, in my opinion. In terms of Steele, I agree. Steele didn't have that strapping on over the weekend and looked good, even though they lost. And I know it was only Hawthorn, but he had 13 tackles, which is a really good indicator. He had 30 touches as well. Yeah. So
another he looks thing back. With Steele, another thing with Steele is I think Brad Crouch is close to coming back shortly too.
That so didn't affect Steele at the start of the year.
I know, but it'll give him some assistance.
Yeah, so it should help.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a positive.
What round did Crouch go down?
I don't think he actually played the season, did he?
No, he played.
We'll quickly look it up. But I thought he hadn't actually played. I thought he got injured.
Looking it up on Dream Team.
Brad Crouch did not play. Oh, one game. He got subbed out for a 56.
In what round? Round one?
Yeah, round one.
All right, throw that out the door then. Anyway.
No, I still think that Brad Crouch coming in will help Steele.
And the buy will help him as well.
Yeah. Because we've jumped a little bit there, we'll move on to a POD. I'm going backwards here, Paddo. I'm going backwards. We're going for a massive POD here. That's Adam Treloar, 610K, 115 average, 0.6% ownership. With an 87 break even. Now, Paddo has just said no thank you on there. But I just want to bring up this, right? So if you knew that this guy was like one of the main mids, because he is, he's one of the main mids of the Bulldogs. And I said, this has been his scoring this year. He's had 3 sub 100 scores out of 9. Of those 3, they were 91, 94, and 99. His other scoring's been 100, 124, 113, 151, 107, 153. Yes, he likes to bully the freaking lower teams. That is a given. He's actually been bullying the fuck out of the lower teams because the 124 came against West Coast, the 151 came against St Kilda, and the 153 came against Richmond. But he's actually like up there with one of the top ranked midfielders as being one of the top ranked midfielders at the moment.
And so it's
absolutely wild.
So in that regard, his next 3 games are GWS, Sydney and Collingwood, who are all top 8 teams.
Yep, but he's still getting over 100.
So he's also due a soft tissue injury.
I fucking knew you're going to ring shit up.
And if you were looking at Treloar, it would be as a starting option until he went down. Just like with Elliot Yeo, just like Nick Loston, just like with Jaden Short, just like
Dane Zorko.
With McGovern.
I'm just
Treloar
saying.
Isn't available as a forward.
Yeah, I know. You're going on about Dane Zorko. He's a fucking soft tissue injury waiting to happen.
If you look at the run sheet and under Dane Zorko, you'll say that I do have a little bit of hesitation there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
We will.
Yeah.
No, thank you. As it says on the run sheet, no thank you for me.
Yep, okay. Didn't even have the courtesy to write no thank you. He just said NTY.
Yeah, exactly.
Clayton Oliver, 494K is our last mid. 90 average, 21% owned paddo. He shot up and 53 break even.
Oh, I thought he was more of a snorter.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Did he meet Ben Cousins?
Fucking hell. Okay, so Clayton Oliver, right? He did some dumb fuckery, paddo, and I think
we know that.
We worked it out that he would have got about 115 to 120. Like I kept in the free kicks that were like genuine free kicks that like, hey, he's gone for a tackle, he's fucked up. But the ones where it was just absolute dumb fuckery. Like one of them, he had plenty of time to handball the ball and he threw it. That was one. And I was like, you just got a free against, bro. You've just got yourself negative points for something that all you needed to do was move your fist a couple more inches.
His neurological system isn't working as good as it used to. So give him a spell.
And then another one was just a dumbass, like, oh, anyway. Yeah, he would have got 115 to 120. So I actually, oh, and the other thing was he was deciding to kick more than normal, but some of his kicks, like he was, I obviously knew what he was trying to do. He was trying to go long down the line or whatever. One of them he just shanked, like so off the side of the boot style. Another one he's tried to overkick it and he's kicked it directly into like Melbourne player, like straight into their guts. So yeah, okay, well there's two turnovers, like real simple shit. Like I don't even know if he kicked one out of the full either. But yeah, he ended up finishing on a reasonable score, but he cost himself a big one, and it was just simple things. So I'd seen enough. I'd be like, you take away even just the dumb fuckery of those two frees, and he was over 100.
So I can't comment because I didn't see this game, but I think Oliver's a really, really good option.
Yeah.
I think coming into West Coast this week, I feel like he's too cheap to ignore.
Yeah, 100%. You got to bring him in. 53 break even. I think this is the week we'll see another 120 plus.
So I know we're jumping out of order here. I just want to throw in someone as a late addition. Looking at the Melbourne CBAs, Alex Neil Bullen had a big jump in CBAs. He had 52%.
Do you want to know why?
Had a 116 score. Why?
So there was a thing, what's his name, that used to play for Adelaide and Geelong? Josh Jenkins did an assessment of when Petrarca starts in the middle, then drifts forward. Alex Neil Bullen's like the sweep guy. So he comes in and sweeps for him and then ends up playing in a midfield role. So it's kind of like they swap positions. It's really weird. But on the weekend, they genuinely swapped positions. So like instead of starting at each other's point and swapping over, they just started at the other point instead. And
so
Oh, no. So basically, when Christian Petrarca pushes forward, it's Neil Bullen in his role in the middle. That's what it is.
It's possibly one to keep an eye on. He is available as a forward at 421,000. His scoring hasn't been good up until then. He had two spike games against Hawthorn and Port Adelaide in round 2 and 3. Four shit scores, and he's been thrown into the midfield against Carlton for a 116. I think you can't do it this week because Petrarca was tagged, and maybe that was their way of trying to shake the tag.
Mm.
But if it's a permanent move, Neil Bullen and Petrarca both become very super coach relevant because they would both be forwards.
Yeah. Yeah. We can move on to the forward line anyway. So you just spoke about Alex Neil Bullen just to bring him up. Next one, Dane Zorko, the one that Paddo has been wanting to talk about. 566K, 109 average, 9% owned, 45 break even. Richmond this week. Paddo, take it away.
I think you can't keep ignoring Zorko. I have reservations. I can't help but think that he could be due a rest soon, and maybe they can't afford to give him a rest because of their injury concerns. They've got a lot of halfbacks out, so that is probably making sure he keeps on the park because of that reason. But I don't think you can keep ignoring this. he will probably end up burning people for some reason, whether it's going to be a silly fucking suspension or whether it's going to be a calf twang. I don't know. He will probably let people down and just add to the villain arc, but he has Richmond this week. Then he has Hawthorn, then he has a bye. So if your round 12 bye is looking okay, I think it's probably worth bringing him in this week. He will get out of reach very soon. He has a break even of 45. And I think he will score a lot more than that this week against the Tigers if he's not named as a sub or something. And he will get over 600K, and I don't think you can spend over 600K on a forward not named Isaac Heaney, Sam Flanders, or Petrarca. So it almost feels like now or never for Zorko.
Yeah, fair. Fair. Now, one that I'm really considering this week, and I know he's got the round 15 bye. That's Isaac Rankin, 527K, 99 average, 5% owned, 65 break even. So he's got a 3-round average of 116 and a 5-round average of 111. He was absolutely fucking brilliant last round. And I can actually afford to bring him in. Just watching him play, the only problem is I don't think he had as many CBAs, Paddo. How many did he have for that game compared to how many were on offer? And whenever I look at CBAs, by the way, Paddo, I keep forgetting that you look at the center bounces from the behind and then you have to plus four.
So I can tell you the percentage. So he had 33% CBAs on the weekend, which was above his 24% and 26% in his last 2 weeks before that. He had two spike CBA games of 61 and 76 against the Blues and Bombers in round 5 and 6.
Yeah,
but
right.
As a whole, most of the season he's floated at 20 to 35%.
Yeah, because I got told that he wasn't getting that many. So if he's actually getting 33%, that's nice. So I'm just looking at it because they had 12 behind. So there's 26 goals kicked across. So there's 26 CBAs.
Yeah, I was going to say there was more CBAs in this game than there normally is.
Yeah, so 30 CBAs. And then you quickly have a look at the man. And he had, scrolling down, 10. Okay, yeah. So there's the 33%. That makes sense. I want to bring him in. I want to bring him in over Zorko. The only problem is that round 15 bye, but looking at it, I'm looking at that bye and you've got Riley Garcia also not in that bye. So you can downgrade Riley Garcia. You've got Darcy Wilson.
But also the round 15 bye means Garcia. You've got the round 15 bye means you've potentially got 9 trades in the 3 weeks before that to make sure you have enough players in round 15.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you've got guys like Darcy Wilson, Riley Garcia, Hugo Garcia, fucking Lachie Sullivan, if you're bringing him in, that you can all trade out in that 15 to upgrade to someone that's played previously.
The Bulldogs also have the bye that week, so you got your Sam Darcy's, Gallagher.
Oh, people will be fucking Sam Garcia off shortly again anyway.
Well, no, he's reset his break even. It's 35
again. For a couple of weeks. Yeah, that's what I mean. So
Darcy will be one of the last people I upgrade, downgrade, whatever.
Trade. Yeah, so you got all of those ones in that last week. So I exclude them because I know I'm going to be trading those fuckers out. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. So Isaac Rankin is one that I'm definitely looking at, even though he's got that bye. Pardon.
Yep.
I reckon he's a top six freaking forward easy. Zach Fisher, I told you to put him on the run sheet. You didn't want to. You just wrote ill. 384K, 78 average, 7% owned still, Paddo, minus 16 break even because he got that big 140-odd score on the weekend because She's Nuts is playing in the midfield and Fisher and McKercher are playing those sweeper roles now. So Fisher's doing what we thought he was going to do in preseason. Now he's doing it. I was going to give him the Heredia Lumumba Award, but he's redeemed himself again. And he's got defender status too. So he's a forward defender swing. So if it's all depending on if Shees still plays midfield. As soon as Sheezel goes back to defense, you got to fuck Fisher off. So is it a short-term play thing? Is it going to be like a Zeebel of years ago where Zeebel just started taking the piss with that role change?
I hate this. North Melbourne have changed their makeup of that team. They're trying to find something that works. So he could have 2 weeks of good scores, but then get fucking sub-vested again like he did 3 weeks ago, Dana.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can do it. I don't even like having Sheasel, but I'm holding him because I know he's going to get back to the halfback line eventually.
Yeah.
He might even have forward DPP eligibility by then.
Well, isn't he playing midfield?
No, he's playing half forward.
Oh, shit. Oh, then yeah, let's keep going. Keep going, the new Bevo, Clarkson. Keep playing him up forward so he gets DPP, then put him back to defence after round 12.
Mm.
That would be actually great for this game.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paddo says ill to Zach Fisher. Okay, moving on. Alex Davies, 324K, 98 average, 0.1% owned, 29 break even. So he's only played the one game, so you can have another look. The only thing I don't like about it is it's the Suns. A mid-pricer at the Suns never goes down too well, Paddo.
Yeah, not usually. But I don't think you can ignore a guy that had 52% game time for 98, where he had 17 touches and 10 tackles in a midfield role, and he's available as a forward. I think you give him one more week if he gets close to that again. And part of it is like he might have been told that he's getting subbed out in the third quarter. And you would use your energy differently if you knew you were only playing 52% game time.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good point.
But the midfield role is there. He replaced Will Graham.
Yeah.
And the role is good. So he's got to be on people's watch list. You should not be bringing him in this week. This is one where you look at him for next week, see how he goes this week.
Yep. Agreed. Jesus. So we're going on to question time, Paddo. Question time. We'll start off with Facebook, because Facebook seems to be the way to go at the moment. We're not getting as many questions in at the moment. I think people are kind of looking away from trading. It's interesting. I'm only thinking of doing the one this week, but we'll see. Peter from the Nerds for Life Supercoach says, you know, he wants us to look at his trade. So he's got two to trade out, which is Will Graham and Sam Darcy. There's apparently a reason why he wants to trade out Sam Darcy. Trading in will be Lachie Sullivan and Dane Zorko. And he said, Rogers is his rookie with the highest break even at 37. Seriously considering not trading this week, but genuinely also considering Caulfield to Revel or Sullivan, or that trade that we just mentioned. Was going to get Houston for Closey, but he just had a great game and Houston is about to lose more cash. Thoughts? I think you said you need to hold on to Sam Darcy for a bit longer.
Yeah, I think, Darcy's got a couple more weeks in him. I just want to say Caulfield's not that far away from coming back.
Really?
So I'm not sure it's worth the sideways trade, but it's saying that he might not even get back into the team.
Well, it's like Zach Reed is literally listed as a test. Zach Reed's listed as a test. Like, he's another one.
Well, he played NFL.
Yeah, and he got like 25 disposals.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. So there's look at the VFL stats when you're considering trading these guys out. Yeah. You'll say, obviously, no to trading Sam Darcy. I can see why he wants Zorko because it suits his buy structure better. Which you will be like, what? That makes no sense. But for him, it actually suits him way better.
Oh, it's different for everyone. Yeah. Every team's different.
Yeah. So I reckon just don't trade at all. Or
no, I reckon do the trade that he's posted there.
Yeah.
Graham and Darcy to Sullivan and Zorko.
Yep. There you go. Easy. I think if you can get Dane Zorko, fucking get him in. Like he'd be priority number one. If you can't, then Rankin. But unfortunately for Nerds for Life, they traded out Rankin just before Rankin started getting hot. Poor bugger. I like to mention that on this podcast because he inboxed me. He's like, you cheeky bastard. And I'm like, yeah, I mentioned that. Next one, Tate. It's not really a super coach question, Paddo, because I think he's been like me. So, yep, Tate says, been sick with COVID since Wednesday and just realized I've lost my taste and smell. What should I eat?
Well, I've still never had COVID, Dano, well, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't waste calories. Just fucking eat something like celery and just be done with it. If you can't taste it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, shred for Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. He also said, Also been very bloody sick, so saw no footy until today, which I couldn't focus on. So tell me what to do. He's basically just asking us to tell him what to do. So
just catch up on some Z's, listen to Supercoach co-captains. Yeah, I wish I could catch up on some Z's, so make the most of it.
Yeah. Now I'm going to the Twitter sphere here, Pat.
So while you do that, would you get a DM on Facebook, Dano, from Liam?
Yep. Hey, Liam.
So he said, hey, gents, just got a question for the pod. Got a forward line of Heaney, Flanders, Moore, Reed, Fife, and Garcia/Jones. Is Zorko a good option to more or less finish the forward line and leave Reed to a luxury trade later in the season?
I reckon trade fucking Reed out now.
Yeah, I would be getting off Reed because he's about to like dive in cash. In saying that, he does have the potential to have a big spike game, as we've seen already. But I would be getting rid of Reed. Fife also has a big break even.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm trading Fife out this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd be trading Reed. Yep. Trade Reed. Yeah.
Reed and end up getting Zorko, find a rookie, Sullivan.
I'd love to see his other lines because his other lines must be complete if he's finishing off his forward line.
Yeah, I think it's just a priority. You don't want a Jones on field.
So incomplete, not complete. Yep. Okay. We got one on the Twitter sphere. So it's from Josh. And he says, is Jack still back or just two easy games? Don't want to have to trade him back in. This is why you give him three games, Paddo.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
He's back. He's back.
I think if you traded him out, you sit on it for a while and you reassess. Yeah. Down the track after he's played a couple more tougher games.
Just don't let the intrusive thoughts win.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm someone who started Nick Martin. I'm watching him just fucking dominate. And I keep finding more value elsewhere and prioritizing elsewhere. And he's just going to keep torching me not having him. I did get Luke Ryan in for him though. So yeah. I'm okay with that. But yeah.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that too if I was you. Because then you've got someone like me who's got Nick Martin and Hayden Young, and I'm like, yeah, I held him. Woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, oh, that'll be really handy right now, Luke Ryan.
Yeah, so I turned them into Sarong and Ryan. So.
Yeah, fair.
Only the two highest averaging Supercoach players.
Yeah.
No biggie. Isn't that crazy?
That is actually crazy. They're both from Rio too. Fuck.
Yeah, Sarong's getting a tag this week, so.
Should be. Anyway, we'll talk about this week because we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing, Paddo, because every week we give our listeners VC and C options to set their team apart from the rest. So we're recording on a Monday night. I'll get this out fucking tonight, don't you worry. And I'm going to mess around with my new speakers, Paddo, because I'm fucking living it up. But first game is on Thursday, and that's the Suns versus the Cats. Over in Darwin. They got double games in Darwin. Fuck.
Yeah, two in a row.
You're right. Who you got in this one, Paddo?
So, Tuke Miller averages 120. Wait, is this at TIO Stadium or TIO Traeger Park?
It is TIO Stadium, Darwin.
So, he averages a lazy 125 at that stadium.
Oh, he went subpar last week, Paddo. 122.
Subpar. He went 122.
Yeah, he went three below his average.
Or at TIO.
Yeah.
Still averaged 125 there.
Yeah, he went subpar. Anyway, keep going.
So I think Tuke Miller isn't a bad option, but I think you should be targeting a higher ceiling than that for your VC. So that's why I don't love anyone in this game. Maybe Rao, actually. Yeah.
Is he gone?
Gone.
Is he gone? G-O-N-E.
Gone where? Tassie?
No, like, he's had two shit games in a row now, Paddo.
Oh, yeah, so he'll be nice and cheap soon.
And you know what that means? Give him 3 weeks, people. Watch him explode this week.
True.
Dano's thoughts.
He could get tagged, though.
I don't think they'll tag him.
I think
if anyone, the easiest one to tag is Anderson. But he's also the most damaging if he's not paid any attention.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Don't really like too many in that game. Let's go to Friday's game, which has a plethora of different options there, Paddo. So Friday, we got Sydney taking on Carlton at the SCG. You know what that means? SCG Grundy, Paddo. He loves it there. He fucking loves it.
Yeah, I think keep an eye on Pitnet. He does have a Band-Aid on fan footy, so he did something. Right hand problem that required treatment, and he had two fingers taped. So if he doesn't play, I really like Grundy as a VC.
Yeah.
Because we like SCG Grundy. But I don't mind Heaney as a VC. He's probably due a big score.
I'm honestly tempted to do VC Grundy. I just feel like VC Grundy is so underrated right now. Oh, shit. VC Grundy. Sam Walsh without Cheripato. Don't like
Sydney
it.
Will tag someone.
Mm. Mm.
And it's probably him.
Yeah, okay. Oh, shit happens. Oh, as I yawn. Okay, no one else from that game? Is Luke Parker going to get a gig? Kicking match winners in the VFL? And
surely, that talk was fucking unreal.
He's clearing 35-odd disposals a game in the VFL and kicking match.
Yeah, tough game, tough team to get into, and you can't off the back of those two games, but he'll come in this week. Dane Reeve, he got subbed off for fuck's sake, and he wasn't injured. So very, very tough team to crack.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go on to the Saturday's game. So Collingwood versus Adelaide at the MCG.
This will probably be my vice VC, Nick Dacos.
Nick Disco Dacos.
Yeah.
He loves it. I'm actually intrigued. Jordan Dawson or Rory Laird, what are their histories against Collingwood? Because Laird is back. He's in that midfield mix. Ooh, ooh, ooh. 125, 100, 154.
Okay. Yeah, that's Laird.
Yeah, that's Laird. What about Dawson? Yay, nay, yay, nay.
I don't think you can VC them.
No? Dawson has that ceiling, though. Oh, Pato, 149, 150. And then when he was playing off halfback flank, it was a 99.
Yeah, no, not for me.
Don't really. I think the J Dawes VC might be one to keep an eye on myself. If I owned him, I'd be considering him. Yeah, but no one else. Cool. Pato didn't answer to that. Let's move on. next one's Giants versus Western Bulldogs at Engi Stadium, formerly known as Giants Stadium.
Bonson Pelly had 164 and 101 in the two games against the Giants last year. So I don't mind him for a VC option if you can swing it.
Tom Green also likes even the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, an even better option, I think, is Tim English. The Giants have been giving up very big scores to Ruckman. Briggs is struggling a little bit. Sure, he'll ragdoll English in the ruck, but English will destroy him around the ground. So don't mind that.
Yeah, look, it was 163, 124, and 110 for his last three scores, English. So very, very, very good shout. But, yeah, I just want to let people know, including our mate Jason, know that Tom Green loves a bit of the Western Bulldogs.
What a superstar of the competition, Dano.
Our group chat people, listeners, fuck me dead. It's literally just sledging Tom Green because he's the first player to get subbed out for an ankle that wasn't an ankle.
It was an ankle.
Like that. They were taking a cautious approach and he's just getting absolutely reamed. And I made a comment saying I'd still take a subpar Tom Green performance than a BOG Jake Soligo performance, and it didn't sit too well. oh, fuck. Anyway, we'll move on. St Kilda versus Fremantle. I only just noticed they're all changing their freaking names.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and pronounce them because I think I would butcher the language. Yeah. St Kilda versus Brio. I actually don't think that Sarong will be taggable in this game. It's a marvel, by the way, for those tuning in.
Well, they tagged him for 70 last week at Marvel, last year.
Oh, I thought he just played shit.
No, they tagged him. And everyone was surprised that Caleb Sarong's ex-coach would tag him over like a Brayshaw and those sort of guys. And Ross Lyon obviously knew how good Sarong was. Look, he was right.
Yeah, no, very, very good point.
So I feel like Windhager goes to him, or even Steele himself might do it.
I think it'll be Windhager. Windhager's probably the better one to do it. You'd want Steele to win his own ball and shit.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But the VC in this game is 100% Luke Ryan, or you see, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. God, I hope he freaking just is shit. I hope Fremantle kick, like, flog him by, like, over 100 points and the ball never goes down to St Kilda's goal.
Don't worry. Luke Ryan will still find a way to get 105.
Junk up 14 disposals last quarter again.
Yep.
Fuck. You would have been shitting bricks, Paddo.
I wasn't watching, and I wasn't even watching the scores either. I was out for dinner, so.
You would have been shitting bricks because he finally looked like he was going to do another shit score, and then boom, you're like, what the fuck? I was going to say, what about Rowan Marshall, but.
No.
I'll move on. Brisbane versus Richmond. Here we go. Richmond are at $10.25 at the Gabba.
Yeah, so they should be.
Fork.
They are the only team ever to win a grand final at the Gabba, though, don't
they? Oh, fuck. How many Brisbane players would you have in this one?
Just one, Zane Dorko. If you Zane don't have Dorko. Ryan, Zane Dorko. Zane Dorko, yeah. Yeah.
Not a Jay Dunks? Actually, Jay Dunks and fucking Lockie Neal didn't play too good last game.
Yeah, they'll bounce back this week as well.
Oh, yeah. We'll move on. Sunday's game, here we go. Take the piss time for Zachy Merritt. It is Essendon versus North Melbourne as my dog jumps up onto the fucking studio desk. If you hear a dog breathing, it ain't me. Zach Merritt in this one, easy.
Yeah, Merritt or Martin?
Yeah, Martin could take the piss too. Yeah. Move on?
Yeah.
Yep, easy. Second last game, Port Adelaide versus Hawthorn. Oh, fuck me. If I had Zach Butters, I would be putting the C on that motherfucker.
I feel like he gets tagged.
I feel like it doesn't matter.
We'll see.
I'd be putting the C on him. He's just too fucking good. Jai Newcomb's starting to... Well, last time he started to play well, he played shit the next week.
yeah, but you're not captaining him.
Yeah, I know. But I just want to keep an eye on the Duke Newcomb.
No, it's next game.
From a draft game. Oliver. Eagles versus Melbourne at Optus Stadium last game.
Gone, Oliver, Petrarca.
Oh, gone in this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But on the flip side, you'd hope it wouldn't happen, but is he due a bit of a rest in the form of maybe a sub?
No. Get to 100 at halftime, then I'll be like, yes, wait. I still want to
But it would be a nervous last game to watch if you've got the captain on Gorn and they're up by 50, 60 points at halftime and then they decide to rest Gorn. Like, they haven't really done it with him previously, but he is getting older, so.
Yeah. Don't talk like that, Paddo. It's too negative.
It's just happened to other guys before, so I just want to.
Yeah. Paddo, what's your Twitter handle?
@PATOOSCCC.
Mine is @DANEOSCCC. I'll just give a quick update on the Podmasters. I'll quickly have a squeeze, but I'm pretty sure in our Podmasters league, I beat because I'm the representative for us in the main one. I beat the one, Geordie from Supercoach Masters. So I have moved to sixth. How's this, right, Paddo? First spot is DR on 28 points. Then from second to sixth, it is 24 points.
Wow.
And then 20 points at 7 and 8. That's pretty fucking tight.
It is.
Yeah. So gave a quick update there. Podmasters seed 2, which is funny because I'm actually going really shit in that one and I don't know how.
I'm 8th.
Yeah, I'm not meant to be in it, by the way, listeners. Some reason I am. I'm like down there on 13th, and you look at all the teams around me, and they're in the 16,000 point range, and I'm in the 17,000 point range. Oh, shit. You are. You're going good, Paddo. It's 20 points from 5th to 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I just realized that Nerds for Life Supercoach is sitting second in the Podmaster Seed 2, so good on him. Yeah, so just gave a little bit of an update there. And in our group, Paddo, who is top, I'm pretty sure it's still Tate.
But you're leading League One, either group.
Yeah, I'm talking about the group. We don't care. Well, actually, no, we'll talk about our leagues. So League One, I'm on top with 28 points. Then we've got Tate, the replacements, in second with 24. That'll do Dunkley in third, 24. Waltzy's Weapons, fourth with 24. And then fifth is Such as Fife with 20. Sixth is Gunners with 20. Seventh is Dacos Delight with 20. And Paddo is eighth with 20. So that's the first league. The second league is a whole nother story, Paddo. That one's just all over the shop. So in that one, we've got Bonable. Yeah, nice. In first with 28. Export is on 28. Rock and Rioli is on 24 in third. Bulldozers on 24 points in fourth. Fifth is Sully's Superstars with 24 points. Sixth is the Golden Era with 20 points, which is our mate Peter at Nerds for Life Supercoach. Seventh is myself with I Done Got a Boner with 20 points. And eighth is O'Errol with 20 points. So that one's a big one. And then the overall group, Paddo. The overall group. Where the fuck is it gone? There it is. We have Tate with the replacements. Overall rank of 34. Second is Plunkball, Vinny's team, with an overall rank of 755. So we've actually got two in the top 1,000, Paddo. And then third, we've got Kevin with Raging Bonner. See, I like that name because it's similar to mine. With an overall rank of 3,557. Fourth, we've got Rough Pies, Josh's team, with an overall rank of 3,648. Then it's myself with I Done Got a Boner with an overall rank of 3,745. But yeah, we haven't really been reporting on it too much, so we probably should report on it a few more times, Paddo, as the season progresses.
Yep.
Yeah, and we'll see if we can organise something for the overall group winner, although in saying that, if he wins the overall prize, Tate, I think he owes us, and he's already said that. I just wanted a six-pack. He said he'd get us more. Anyway, Paddo, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing.
Fuck off.